Father, we thank you so much for the wisdom of God today. Lord, we're asking that as we go into this series on single, married, and family, Father, that the Holy Spirit would be present to minister to us, Father. We have a set of needs, Father, and your word says that if we lack anything, you would supply our needs abundantly. We ask that you teach us concerning singlehood and marriage and family, Father, that we will learn your picture of it and how you should do it. We lay aside the wisdom of man and we want the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, you are the revelator to the body of Christ. Jesus said you would teach us all things. We're asking you now to come into this place and to be our teacher, to be our guide, to be our instructor, and to teach us in the path of righteousness today. We thank you for the word and all that should be done by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer say, amen. Amen. Well, we're starting today our series on singles, marriage, and family. Now, I believe everybody in here is either single or married, don't you think? That's all there is. So we know there's a word in here for everyone. And what we want to do is want everybody to open up their hearts and open up their ears to receive and hear the word of God. And I want you to believe with me that God will bring out the things that you need. Everybody has challenges in these areas. Satan does not want the body of Christ to succeed. We've learned even from sociology that the basic foundation of any civilized society is a unit called the family. A unit called the family. And Satan has been attacking the family ever since there's been family. I mean, Adam and Eve had problems with their kids. You know, when one of your kids killed the other one, there's a problem in your family. And Cain killed Abel, and that was a problem. So Satan came right in with that lust and the different things. We're still having problems now. We've got individuals that don't know their sexual orientation. You are the sex that your organs say you are. Okay, girls have one thing, boys have another thing. Okay, that's what makes you your sex, not what you think or what you feel in your head or anything like that. It's defined by the organs. The doctor always said, hey, it's a boy. Why don't we wait and see how it thinks? No, they look and say, that's a boy. Why? Because it has the equipment of a boy. God made them male. He made them female. There's things there where Satan's attacking the family. And they're saying the family unit exists between a man and a woman and a woman. Anybody went to kindergarten can understand the parts to go together. And just don't let the desires of your flesh or the lust of your flesh, which can be inordinate at any time, tell you who you are. You are what your organs say you are. And unless you're a hermaphrodite, you shouldn't even be confused. Hermaphrodites, individuals are born with both sets of organs and they can't really tell which one is which. And yes, they do have things like that happen, but the doctors do a test and they tell which one is working and which one isn't. But unless you're that, you shouldn't be confused. And don't let anybody confuse you or any feelings or emotions confuse you. Satan's attacking the family with marriage. I think, depending on which stat you look at, they said one, the highest one I've seen was 67% of all people in the United States that get married get divorced. Some of them say 51, 52. The Christians are almost as high. They're just a few points behind it. And these things ought not be, brethren. These things ought not be. We know how to stay married. We should know how to stay married. It's in the Word of God. We should not let Satan attack the fabric of our society at the level of the family by redefining a family being a man and a woman and a woman. We shouldn't allow these kind of things because we have a God that tells us what truth is. And let God be true and every man be a liar. Let every man be a liar. We're Christians. We believe the Bible. We believe the Word of God. And I don't care if you got relatives or friends or it's you or anybody else. Believe the Word of God. Because that's what's true. All that other stuff is a lie. Believe the word of God. That doesn't mean it doesn't be understanding and sympathetic, but you got to understand the word is what's true. In that family unit, you've got the basis of family unit is marriage. A man and a woman are supposed to enter into a covenant agreement. It's not supposed to be shacking up, not supposed to be playing house. This ain't Ken and Barbie playing dolls. If that man loves that woman, he'll marry her. If he doesn't love her, what is she doing with him? I don't have room to be shacking up with you because this is all for you and none for me. You walk off and you don't have to give the pay, the support. You don't have to do all these other kind of things. But like one person said, you know, you got to look at how some men look at women. You know, if I can get the milk for free, why should I buy the cow? You know, then you got to take care of it. You got to do all that. Get the milk for free. Don't be giving out milk for free, ladies. You tell that the Bible says you are a prize. Your price is higher than rubies, a good godly woman. He says, you're the prize. The man should have to hunt and pursue that prize. And if he does a good job, he's worthy of the prize and you give him the prize. Other than that, don't be so desperate and needy that you're going to do anything and lay down for him to make him happy and take care of his sexual gratification. He's doing that for himself. He's only thinking about himself. Now, I understand the brothers weren't trained any better. They think that's the way you're supposed to do it. But Satan is still, even in all that promiscuity, all of the fornication, adultery and everything else, what is he after? He's after the family unit. He's after the basics of that family unit, the marriage, because the family begins with the man and the woman. The man and woman don't get along. They split the family. They divorce one another. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, kids. I know you all, you had a right to have a mom and a dad, but you know, I don't get along with your dad. I don't get along with your mom. So we just can't live together because we don't know how to walk in love. And that's understandable. I'm just saying what it is. I'm not picking on anybody. It's true. You don't know how to walk in love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, that if we walk in love, it defines love. And if we walk in love, there'll be no divorce. And I don't mean living together unhappily. I mean, there'll be no divorce. But the problem is we're spiritually immature when we get married, and our carnality, our flesh butts heads. I want it my way. She wants it her way. But the Bible says love does not insist on its own way. Nobody has ever gone to the divorce court saying, "Judge, I have got to get away from this woman because she's too good to me. Well, Judge, I got to get away from this man. I can't stand it. I'm not worthy of them. He's just too good to me." People go to divorce court saying, "Why didn't you get my need? Why didn't I get mine? What about me? What about me? You never think about me. What about all you think about is you? What about me?" And see, that's the voice of an insecure person, because they're pretty much saying, "What about my needs? You're not meeting my needs." Now, the Bible says you have a certain right to have certain needs defined in the Bible met. Don't get me wrong, because the Bible says the married man does have to mind the things to please his wife. But that's according to the word of God, not everything she wants. Some men and women want fur coats and alligator shoes and all that. You know, that's not biblical. You don't have to supply that. You got to supply a roof over her head and some shelter and a safe place to live, some protection. Don't get me wrong. So your needs are not your wants. Satan, again, is attacking the family through selfishness, people being selfish, things on those lines. Now, let's take a look at some areas here. Somebody might ask the question, why is marriage so difficult? Now, basically, in the simplest answer, marriage is so difficult because Satan wants to attack your marriage in order to steal the power that leads to your blessing. God says, "I created my man and I want to bless my man." And Satan doesn't want the man or the woman blessed. And he knows that if he attacks marriage, he does it for the purpose of stealing the power that leads to blessing. Do you know there is a power that will lead you to blessing in God? And Satan doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to stand up and say, "Man, those Christian people, look at how well they stay married. Look at, oh, this is just awesome." He doesn't want them looking saying, "Man, those people, they raise such wonderful, disciplined, well-organized kids." I mean, as the body of Christ, most of us, or many of us, we have our kids disciplined right. Now, Helen and I would go places. We do it a lot. We go to restaurants and people we're in Detroit. Somebody on vacation, some older man. And, you know, it takes older people to recognize this. But an older man and woman came over and they said, "You know, we were sitting here watching you guys. We had my sister's kids. We had our kids. And we're at one of these all you can eat buffets. So generally kids just go wild. Adults go wild with them usually. Just the food is there and they just go crazy." But everybody went and got their plate and sat down and behaved. They'd ask us, could they go get seconds, go there. They weren't all in the pot, picking their nose all over the pot and all, you know, because I was at one place and I saw the kid just tasting it and putting it back. I'm like, "Where's your mama at?" You know, see, but the kids weren't acting like that. So they looked and they came by and they felt they were so impressed by it that we had what? Renee's seven kids and two adults. They had us surrounded, but still we kept them in check. You know, I had a bigger gun around my waist than they had straightened out. But the kids, they very well behaved, and they were like, "Wow, you know, we just had to say that we don't see this often. Your kids are so well behaved." We get that in the mall in different places because God said, if you train the child in the way they should go, they won't depart from it. God says, if you beat your child with a rod, you'll drive foolishness far from their heart. Now, the word beat is a strong word. That's understood in foreign cultures. I lived in Africa for a year in Kumasi, Ghana, West Africa, and I saw some people get beat. I saw them get beat by society. But it's no more than what we call down south a good whipping. Or we call it a whooping. You're going to get a whooping. And I got whooped quite a few times. And thank God I got some good whoopings. You know, there's no permanent marks on my body. There's nothing like that. But if you took me to the doctor the day after I got a whooping, they'd be, "Child abuse. Child abuse." It's child abuse if your child's a fool not to drive it out of them than it is for you to spank them and not leave any permanent marks. Nowadays, if they took me to the doctor, they want to lock my mother and dad up. And there's no permanent, there's no webs on my body or on my thing. There was some there that day I got that whipping with that switch, though. There was some there then, but you know what? That's just good old-fashioned discipline. But I learned that if you're going to be in Bobby Cook's house and Bertha Cook's house, the rules are made by them and you fly by them. Come from the old school. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. And you learned that real early. And if you wasn't ready to go out of this world, you pretty much straightened up. It ain't no discussing. Like I said, I read Dr. Spock, the psychologist, and B.F. Skinner. B.F. Skinner was a guy who says, hey, you know, what you do with your children is all children, all human beings basically know what good is. If you leave them alone, they find what's good. So he put his daughter in what's called the Skinner box psychology, where he, it's not a physical box, but he says, I'm going to let her do anything she wants to do as long as it's not going to kill her. I'll let her do anything she wants to do. And by the time she was 16 years old, she got committed to an insane asylum. He said he wouldn't let anybody discipline her. He wouldn't discipline her. He said everybody find out, because if she's mean to kids and she take their toys, she'll realize they don't want to play with her, so she'll just change. It doesn't work that way. People keep doing it. And then she had no value, she had no friends, and she got committed. The Skinner box didn't work. Dr. Spock would be, don't spank them, talk to them. And my motto is, I spanked them because I talked to them and they didn't do it. I've already talked to them. And sometimes you hear it, not putting anybody down, it's the way we were raised, but it is a true statement. Sometimes you have foolish parents, mother and father, you know, I'm never going to spank my baby. I hope you do have the kind of kids you want to spank. That's fine. There's no benefit in just going around spanking your kids. I'm not into child abuse. But if your children are misbehaving, God has put you in charge of stopping the misbehavior. If you got those kind of kids you can talk to, by all means, just talk to them. But I don't have them kind of kids. And I wasn't that kind of kid. So if that's going on and you're telling them and they're paying you no attention, you are a fool to let somebody half your size and a tenth of your age run your household. You are a fool. And you go in the houses and you see the kid to get mama say something, go do something. And the kid will be like, okay, okay. If they even acknowledge it. Mama, if you don't do that, I'm going to do, I'm going to do. If you don't, I'm going to, you wait, I'm going to do, I'm going to do. However many times you tell them I'm going to do it before you do something, they know they got that many times before you do something. My grandmother was old school. She said, look, if I told you to do it, you're going to do it then. And if she said, stop, go do this, you went to do it. If not, she said, hey, so she made sure you heard you. Hey, so-and-so, I need you to go in there and go back there and take that laundry off the line or whatever. And then you kind of, you heard her. She know you heard her. Okay, okay. She don't do nothing. She go on about her business. About 5 minutes later, she come around that corner with a switch or a belt. And she put everything that didn't move on fire. And she don't have no problem with that after a while. Because folks learn when she said it, she meant it the first time. She meant it the first time. Satan is trying to attack the family. I'm just throwing some things out. We're going to detail to him a little bit later in the series. But Satan is trying to, he's trying to destroy that family right there at that relationship of covenant. Oh, you can be married and not have covenant. No, you got to get in covenant. We don't need no ring. It's just a piece of paper, a ring, it's just a thing. We don't need all the material things. Well, you don't have to have the ring, it's a symbol. But you need to have a piece of paper because God says follow the laws of the land unless they're unjust. And it's not unjust to require a piece of paper. It's not unjust when they say marriage is a man and a woman. It's not unjust. It's wrong for you to go and make it something else. God says train the children up. That's not a divine suggestion, that's a commandment. Train them up in the way they should go. The Bible says foolishness is pent up within the heart of a child. Foolishness is pent up. Now, how did God know that? Because he knows who children are. They don't know any better. They just want to do what's fun. And just now we are a lot of adult children now. They just want to do what's fun. But we're foolish. I was foolish with finances for a long time. Just wanted to do what I wanted to do with the money. Just wanted to do what you wanted to do. And see, that's foolish because you got bills, you got things to take care of. I never got to a point where anybody was coming to repossess cars, nothing like that. But just the same, God wanted to polish us up a little shinier than we were. He wanted people to say that's God's kids, not Bebe's kids. And that whole unit that God establishes everything on, as he says, a man, it's not good the man should be alone. And he made him a helpmeet, and the two of them cleave together. Leave your mother and your father, cleave to your wife and start a family. Start a family with a mother and a father intact, a male and a female. It's family intact together, and they go on. Now, if your husband died or you're divorced or whatever, you're still family with your son or your daughter. I'm not saying that's not family, but God's original design was there to be a male and a female, not two males, not two females, and then they come together. And then under the rules of love, they have a loving environment with two parents for their kids to raise up whole in. Your kids can still raise up whole, but you're going to have to make sure you augment that other role in there. Have a male figure there if you've got a son, or a female figure if you've got your daughter and it's not by else there. God designed it another way, but there's natural things where people died and things. So the fact that the spouse is missing doesn't mean your kids aren't going to be whole. It means you need to pay particular attention because they don't have that male female. My mother said something that's so true. It takes a man to make a man. No matter how hard women try, you're gonna make your boy grow up and be a sissy if you don't let some man get in his figure, because you don't even know how to be a man. What you do is you accidentally raise him to be a wimp. He may grow up thinking he's a woman, or he grow up like a man thinking like a woman. I tell you, I read books about men. I can tell that man was raised by his mama when I read his book when he talks about marriage. First of all, it ain't lined up with the Bible, what he's saying, and then he's real feminine, you know. And you can tell some woman has told him that men have abused women and men be. So you hear the way he talks, and he actually puts the woman over to the man, over the man in authority, or equal to the man in authority. The woman is not any less or more important than the man, but God did give the man, the head of the household, authority. And this man takes it away and is teaching these men. I read their books and they take it away. And they say, we're not going to move till we both agree. Now, some things you can't wait till we both agree. Decisions got to be made, and God says the man's head of the household. Now, I say that to women, and if you ever heard the single seminar and all the teaching, the heart I'm coming from, everything has authority. When you go to your job, if there's a man in charge, could be a woman, but whoever's in charge, you don't go there complaining about them being in charge, do you? It's the same thing in marriage is what he's saying. It's not anybody's less important. Your boss ain't any more important than you. They're not any better than you. God doesn't love them any more than you. It's the same thing in a marriage. But whenever there's two people, sometimes decisions are going to have to be made, and somebody's got to make the decision. But let's look at that basic unit of that man and that woman and find out today, why is marriage so difficult? Have you ever wondered, why are so many people getting divorced? Why is it so hard? The simple answer is there's a devil who is diligent to destroy that which God has intended to bless you. There's a devil out there working hard to destroy that which God intended to bless you. And God intended for marriage to be a blessing. God intended for marriage to be an increase of power. And we'll talk about the three types of power and the different things, how they work. A lot of people don't stop and think a married couple has more power than a single person in many areas. Because one thing you got is if a marriage is right, according to God, you always got somebody to touch and agree with you. Now, single women who are raising the kids and not having a lot of income, you know, financial power would be helpful. Somebody else to help you pay some of these bills. So let's not pretend like that's not God's divine will for us to get pregnant out of wedlock and have to raise kids. And that sorry joker ran off on his own somewhere. That wasn't God's original plan, because God knew that would make it harder on you, nor for the woman to run off. Because this situation where the woman said, I don't be with the kids anymore. It's not as often because maternal instinct, but that does happen. The woman to run off, leave the man. Marriage is so difficult because there's a devil who is diligent to destroy that which God has intended to bless you. Well, Pastor Cook, God bless you. Well, what's the blessing? Let's say the Bible's generally talking to a man there. What's the blessing? Let's look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. You talk about wisdom, you're going to end up in Proverbs. Proverbs 18. And let's look at verse 22. Proverbs 18. We're talking about why is marriage so difficult. That basic element to civilized society is the family. And even within the family, there's the head of that family, the heads of that family, the man and the woman. And the man being the head, as they see in Ephesians. The man, look here what it says. It says, speaking to of the man, Proverbs, remember, is a book where there's a father teaching his son through his whole life how to grow up, how to mature, how to marry, what type of women to stay away from, what kind of women you want, how to handle his money, how to think, not to be lazy, to be diligent. And come on Wednesday night for our Proverbs series we've been on, and you learn about that. It says right here in Proverbs 18:22, whosoever does what? Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, that says, whosoever finds a wife, which is a helpmeet, or implied a good wife, not just somebody to marry, not just a female to marry, but whosoever findeth a good wife, findeth a good thing, and does what? Because they found that good thing. See, a lot of people forget about that. But a man that finds a good woman also gets an addition added favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord. Why? Because it is good to have some good help. Do you know I can do so much more in ministry because I have good help in my wife that I couldn't do if I had just some old Jezebel just hanging around, just wanting to be in the ministry and be first lady with the big peacock hat on, go around the church causing problems everywhere. You guys have been in churches where the first lady is like that. She ain't quiet and peaceable and meek. She's up trying to pastor the church. And she's trying to pastor the pastor, the rest of you, and just so happy she in charge of everything, she stick her nose in everything. That's not even a good woman, let alone a good pastor's wife. You have a lot of them fighting me. We co-pastors of the church. Are you called to the ministry? Helen and I had to decide that earlier. Are we co-pastors or am I the pastor? What's going on? And then we pretty much thought about it. Well, let's go to the word. And I said, well, baby, if I were to die, are you called to pastor a church? She said, no, I'm not called to pastor a church. I'm called alongside to help you. Well, in that case, we're not co-pastors. And I don't believe in co-pastorship anyway, because you can't have two pastors over the church. You can't have two pastors pastoring the church. Because, you know, have you ever been in church like that where the wife said one thing, the husband said the other one, and the people just get confused because you're like, well, who was in charge? Because you're trying to do right, but you don't know. They're saying opposite things, and, you know, it's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. There needs to be one chief at a time so the chain of command will be in order. You can't have two up top. Even in the Godship, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we say God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. God the Son is the second person of the Trinity, and God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Even in God, when they're all equal, co-equal, catch that. One is not higher than the other one. They're both equally God. Jesus thought it not robbery, considered himself equal with God. They're co-equal, but notice Jesus said, I don't do what I want to do and don't say what I want to do. I say what I hear the Father say and I do what the Father want to do. I came not to do my will, but the will of him to send me. Not my will, but thy will be done, God, for me to go to the cross. Jesus submitted himself, although he was co-equal to God, he submitted himself to the authority of God the Father because there has to be order. And he did the will. He did not his own will, not my will, but thy will. He did the will of the Father. And you know what? They're all God. The Holy Spirit, they said, Jesus said, I'll send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me and of the Father. So the Holy Spirit put himself under Jesus. They're all co-equal, but in authority, the Holy Spirit came down and says, look, I'll just speak of Jesus and the Father. Jesus said, I just do the will of him that sent me. And the Father says, I'm God. And all three of us are God, and we are one. How can a husband and a wife be one if they don't agree? How can they be one when they're two? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one because they move according to one purpose, plan, and thought that's established by the Father. Although they're all co-equal. That's why I say men and women are not unequal in marriage. A husband and wife are not unequal. They're equal. But they can be equal and one still have more authority. And they can be equal and one still be called to submit. That's why I tell the women, Pastor Cook, they say, Pastor Cook, I can put on no man. He might do the wrong thing. Well, you're always under God over the man. So therefore, if he asks you to do anything illegal, immoral, unethical, ungodly, you don't do it because that would be going against God. But if he says, baby, I want you to wash the dishes, you can't be saying, I ain't washing no dishes. Because God is not against you washing dishes and he's not sending to ask you to do the dishes. So if you don't want to have any man, like I told one lady, if you don't want a man to have authority over you, stay single. Because God says if you get married, you will be under his authority except him getting out of the will of God. And there's a lot of authority you give a man over you because he might say, we're moving over here to West Shapucky land. He's like, I ain't leaving my family going over there. Bad woman. Yeah, but Pastor, I shouldn't have to. You married him. You was the one in a hurry, wanted yourself a man, was afraid to get old maid, acting like Israel. We want a king. We want a king. God said, if you get a king, he's going to tax you. We still want a king. We want a king. You know, we want a king like the other people. I want a king. Give me a king. Now you got a king. I want me a man, Pastor. I'm just tired of being alone by myself. Like Philip said, rolling over, looking at myself in the morning. I'm tired. I want me a man. Well, you got a man now. And a man with his ego is going to want to be in charge if he's worth his salt at all. I will have issues if my wife fights me about authority over the household. And I'm spiritual and got the Holy Ghost running from under my toenails. But I'm going to be upset if she try to rise up in my face in the house. I'm saying, I love you with all my heart, but baby, you got to step down. And this ain't me dominating my wife, because she's got a whole lot of autonomy to do what she wants to do. But if there's something I really believe needs to be done, it's not singing. I know I have the right to say, let's go this way. If she didn't want to come to West Palm Beach, and I said, God laid on my heart to go to West Palm Beach, and let's say she didn't want to come, and I ain't going. I said, baby, we're going to West Palm Beach. It's like they said, the illustration Philip used with Green Acres. Philip's a friend of mine, comes here minister sometime, and he's talking about Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the place. Life for me, go on. The guy said, and she's talking, no, New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic at the smell of hay. But at the end, they say, then they move to Green Acres anyway. And she said, okay, Green Acres, we are here. They just went on to Green Acres anyway. That theory is she did not want to go there, didn't want to do it, but she went to support her man. That's a good woman. He who findeth a good woman, he who finds a good helpmeet, not one that says, I ain't going to help you. I was flipping through channels, and I stopped on a Friends episode, and I was watching this part where Monica was married to Chandler. And I never watched that show during the series other than Once Every Blue Moon, because it's so carnal. But Monica was married to Chandler, and Chandler got transferred on his job to Tulsa, and she said she was going, but then she got offered a restaurant job she wanted to work at as the head chef, and then she told him, I ain't going to Tulsa. And see, what they're doing with that show is they're teaching women to be rebellious to authority. Yeah, Pastor Cook, he's squashing me down. I got to get free. That's why I told you, stay single, be free. If you get the singles tape, I told you they called it wedlock. Cha-ching. Clang. Wedlock. Holy wedlock. But just realize you ain't locked up in that cage by yourself. He's locked too, because he can't go looking at all them younger women and chasing all them other women and preferring them over you. He's got to minister to you. Both of you get locked when you get in holy wedlock, though. Click, click, clang, clang. You hear that, don't you? Lock. What's the first thing I told the singles in the seminar? You have something married people wish they had. It's freedom. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do with your money, relish your singleness, enjoy it, be free, go to the south of France, spend your money, do what you want to do, because when you get married, calling, now you got to do your time. You got to pay your tax to the king, the king's got to pay his tax to the queen. Don't be in such a hurry to give up your freedom. That can be a blessed thing, you know. Remember that word wedlock. Okay, don't forget that, single people. If you ain't ready to be locked up, you free and you got to be me. I just got to be me. I got to be free. I got to be me. Well, you better stay single, because once you get there, you're going to hear God. You're going to hear me. You're going to hear the word of God saying, hey, you can't go hang out with the boys. She said you've been gone too much. Go home to your. But I don't never get to go play with the boys any. You married, man. Go home. You just stay gone too much. Yeah, but the boys are hanging out. The boys either got bad marriages or they're single. I pretty much can't run with single men. When I got married, I just couldn't run with them because they can run further and faster than I can. I can't run no further than I can get home by 6. When I was single, me and Gerard would jump in the car. He had a new car. We in Detroit driving. We trying out on the highway on 75. I looked at him. He looked at me. We said, you know, Morehouse and Fisk and all the black colleges about, you know, 800-900 miles that way. I looked at him. He looked at me, and we went. When I got back, my mother took the keys to my car, but we took off. We just left. I couldn't do that now. I called my mother and said, I'm not going to be home tonight. I'm in Alabama. What? Because we lived in Michigan. And I didn't tell her. I just went to Alabama. And boy, she was mad. I figured I was grown. I was over 18. But like my dad said, as long as you live in my house, you'll never be grown. Grown men have their own house. See, they ain't have no misunderstanding of manhood. As long as you're in my house, you my boy. Get out there and cut that grass. Dang, Dad. Brother got to go cut the grass, Dad. You know? Son, get on out there. But see, because that's uncomfortable for a man who's growing up, my dad made it not comfortable for me to be lazy, slothful, sitting up in somebody else's house eating their food. So that made me say, you know what? I ain't trying to have all this now. I love you and all, but I'm grown. No, you ain't grown in my house. You may be old, but you ain't grown. So I said, okay. He taught me real quick, in order to be a man, you pay your way. And I wasn't a man until I got out and paid my way. And I got out and paid my way, and then I took a wife. And I don't have no problem paying my way. My dad, I've never had to go to dad and say, Dad, you know, could you just help us out? Because, you know, they're going to take the car, the boat, the plane. They're going to take it. God, Dad, can you help me? I've never had to do that once. Ever. And there's a lot of men go back, Mama, can you help me? Daddy, can you loan me? We trying to get this new. I don't think we've ever gone and asked him for money for anything. Her parents nor mine. Never. Because Helen and I pay our own bills because we're grown. If they die right now and didn't leave us a dime, ain't nothing going to change. We grown. There's too many folks still ain't grown. They still trying to borrow money. Going over to Mama's house to eat because they ran out of food and money. Satan's attacking those marriages. Proverbs 18:22 says a wife is a good thing. Why? Because she's intended to bless you and to buy favor to you with God. But Satan doesn't want you blessed, man. He doesn't want you to have any favor. He wants you to go marry a man. Or he wants you to just never, ever worry about getting married. He wants you to just play the field and just get as many girls pregnant as possible. And that's what the world says. You're a real man because you score a lot of girls. I think Wilt Chamberlain bragged that he slept with over 1,000 women. You know what? Anybody with the right man would look at him and say, what's wrong with you, fool? There's nothing attractive about sleeping with 1,000 women that's not your wife. You found 1,000 pieces of garden equipment, not the rake, not the shovel, but the. You found 1,000 pieces of garden equipment. You know, Santa Claus says, ho, ho, ho. You find 1,000 of them to sleep with and you're trying to impress somebody with that. It seems to me there's a problem because you couldn't find one good woman. You had to go find 1,100 of the other kind. I said, that doesn't impress me because those kind of women will sleep with anybody anytime if you buy her a meal. Take out for a hamburger and a hot dog and she, boom, ready to go. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but go thy way and sin no more. Don't be that kind of man and don't be that kind of woman because that's designed to attack the family unit. It's designed to create the kids that don't have parents. It's just mom and dad both. It's designed to make you have to pay those bills. Satan did that to trick you. Baby, I got protection. Yeah, I don't want this protection no more. Or protection doesn't always protect. All kinds of things that happen. And then people, there's ladies now who died from AIDS, but the guy had protection. Because they're lying to you, and AIDS, get Dr. Day's tape out there. AIDS can be communicated through sweat. It ain't just exchange of all body fluids. It can be exchanged to all kinds of things. They just didn't want to cause a panic, so they don't tell people that. Go to drday.com or Dr. Day, look up her material. She's got some trims material revealing the communicability of the AIDS virus. Personally, I don't have any proof for this, but personally, I think that West Nile virus might have been AIDS because they found out it could be spread through mosquitoes. Because they spent a lot of money to go spraying at night through up and down the cities to kill off some of the mosquitoes. I think they could have been spreading AIDS virus and they come up with some name, West Niles, because they don't want everybody thinking, AIDS is going through mosquitoes. We told everybody you can only get it through certain things. Be careful. Be wise. God has made rules to protect us that we don't even understand why he made them. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. All your ways, the ways that I deal with myself sexually as a single person, acknowledge the Lord in that. Man, I tell you, if you pick her up in fellowship with God, make sure you drop her off in fellowship with God and didn't have to go by church to repent on the way to her house. You don't, no Christian man loves you if he's in your underwear. He loves himself. He's flesh controlled. He's carnal. You need to leave him alone. Give him a chance to spiritually grow up. If both of you were like that, you can come together in covenant and say from this day forward, let's keep our relationship pure. Let's not do this. Let's discipline ourselves. I'm not saying you throw him away and you throw him away. But if there's other things going, you tell him no more of that. No more of that. Satan is doing all these things to destroy that marriage unit. You are going to be a lot happier married to a strong man than a weak flesh carnal led man. You're going to be a lot happier married to a virtuous woman than a loose woman. A lot happier because loose women may be loose on you. Like I said, the mailman may be making unauthorized deliveries while you're at work. Unsigned for packages. You know it happens. Sometimes it happens and the man never finds out. The man may be off with the secretary and you never find out. Some people go for years and never find out. God wanted to test those people to make sure they had spiritual maturity enough. Because when you get married, there's nothing about getting married to stop you from wanting to be with somebody else. If you're not already have the, you don't already have the discipline to control your flesh, you are not going to get it just because you said I do. And it's a lie of the devil. I'm going to go ahead and sow my oats because when I get married, I'm going to settle down. Most guys that sow a whole lot of oats still like sowing oats after they get married. Because they're in the oat business. And whatever you practice at, you get good at. And if you practice sowing oats while you're single, you're going to want to continue practicing sowing oats when you're married. Those guys will hold themselves and hold their virgin. The Bible says, hold your virgin, keep your virgin. That's you and your wife, your fiance you're dating. If you keep your virgin and you keep her virgin, that man will be able to control his flesh after you get married. He won't be stepping out on you because he's in control of his flesh concerning his sexual drive. If he's not controlled in and you see him cheating out and stuff, I mean, if I was the girl and I was dating a guy and he stepped out on me once and cheated on me, it's over. Right there. You may be ready someday, but you ain't ready now. That one ain't ripe. Throw it back. I'm not ready for the pickings yet. Throw it back and let it grow up some more. Let the fruit mature a little more. Because right now it's too fruity. Let it grow up. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. You hear me quote it a lot, but I want you to look at it. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. We having a good time today, aren't we? It's going to be a miracle if I can preach this the same way second service, because I'm way out of my notes. Well, they'll get what's for them and you get what's for you. How about that? Long as we're small, if you want to stay over and get it again, you're welcome to stay over. As we start growing, we kind of make room for the next crowd. But if you want to stay over, that's fine. 2 Corinthians 2, and let's look at, let me get there myself. 2 Corinthians 2, and let's look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2, you hear me quote this a lot of you never looked at it. 2 Corinthians 2, 11 reads, "Least Satan should get an advantage over us, for we be not ignorant of his devices. Least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, what that means is that if we are ignorant of the way Satan works, I'm talking about the homosexuality. I'm talking about the fornication, thinking it's okay, society saying it's okay. I'm talking about a guy saying, "Baby, I love you, that's why I can't keep my hand off your pants." Or, "Baby, I love you, that's why I'm giving myself to you. Well, I'm trying to be a good man, baby. I don't want to do nothing to you wrong. Baby, you know, it's all right, we're getting married," because you know, there's girls to pressure the guys. When we get to the singles part, we may talk a little bit, or you can get the first series on the singles tape where we talk about that maturity. Men, women basically mature quicker than men. They do physically in their body, and they also do mentally. And a 22-year-old man is equivalent to about an 18-year-old woman in his thinking. His brain is still behind his pants. He's not thinking wise. And many women marry those men young. They hoodwink them, maneuver them into getting married, only to find at 28 when he says, "What? I got two kids, a wife, and I didn't achieve my dream." The sex ain't all that anymore to him. Now he's like, everything I said I would be, I'm not it. I had to drop out of college because I got a family. My wife seemed to be okay, happy, but I'm not. And then the guys jet out and they go to midlife crisis. They go buy sports cars. They leave the woman. They do all kinds of things because he finally wakes up at 28 and says, What? Where did I get these kids from? Kids, wife, and bills, two cars, a house. Where did I get all this from? Now he's locked. And a lot of guys don't have the maturity to stay in it. They run off, but the woman trapped him. She knew he just wanted sex, and she led him all the way to the altar with it, dangling it in front of him. So there are women that also trapped him in. They use their womanliness. That's why some girls, in order to get a man, don't mind laying down. They'll do whatever they can to keep him. That's trapping him. Because he's more immature than you, and you're taking advantage of his sexual desire, and you're trapping him. You may not even realize you do it. Women do it instinctively. True. They hunt, too. Or let's just say they lay out a trap and they snare a brother. Now, you read Proverbs carefully and you see if that's not what he's saying. He said women lay a trap for you. And a lot of men aren't wise enough to realize how women work. That's not every woman. But basically, when a woman wants to get married, she wants to get married. And she knows she's got control of that guy through sex. She'll keep him on the line until she get him right to the altar for more sex. And he never stopped and thought about anything. He hadn't even stopped to think, "I don't even have a checking account. I ain't got no money." Then when he get married, then she start telling him, "When you going to get a better job? Why don't you do that? Why don't you have more aspiration? Why have more?" And then she find out you can't change a man. And he looks at you like, "I don't want no better job. Why don't you work too?" "Well, I was planning on being and doing this and all." "No, baby, you know, you want all this stuff. You ought to help me. You might help me." Then he get it all out of proportion because you should be able to provide yourself. But see, you didn't get a mature man. So what makes you think he's going to act mature right after you got married? Doesn't work that way. Satan's still trying to attack the marriage. Her maneuvering him in the marriage, him trying to get in her pants, all that sex just confuses the issue. It confuses the truth of the issue. That's why God said, how much sex can people have? No sex. Single people. Single people should have no sex, no kind. Oral sex, anal sex, any of the other sexes. No sex. Okay, don't be like Bill Clinton. You don't know what sex is. No sex. I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Later he found out he did. Sexual relations. He had sexual relations. The Bible says you're guilty of intercourse with her. You're guilty of fornicating with her and adulterating with them. If that's of your mind, you lust after them. You sit around. I'm not talking about thoughts coming to your head, but I'm talking about you sit around and lust after them. So you got to be careful about that. You got to control your mind. Because nobody's ever gone anywhere where their mind didn't first think them there. Wherever you are now, you thought your way there. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. He will gain advantage over us if we don't understand how he works. He works through that premarital sex. He works through that you not looking at your organ determining your sexuality, but listening to some feeling. And we're led by faith, not by feelings or sight. We're not led by those external things. We're led by faith. If faith says a man has this organ, a woman has that one, I believe the word of God that I'm a man because I look down and say, yep, that's a man's equipment. I'm a man. You're a woman, you look down. That's a woman's equipment. I'm a woman. Let any other voice that speaks to your head be brought in subjectivity to the word of God. Bring it into captivity to the word of God. Don't. Yeah, but I have feelings. There's a lot of guys that like other guys and like being with them and have fun, but they know sex is not a thing we go. Thought like that comes up. No, I'm not that. Men don't do that. Oh, but I'm suffering. That's kind of like a pedophile saying I'm suffering. And I can't get a little girl. If it's a deviant behavior, yeah, he wants the little girl because he's been thinking the wrong thoughts and programmed, maybe by the wrong person. Maybe he meditated child pornography. People aren't born with a desire for little girls. When I grow up, I want a little girl. I was born wanting little girls. And I watched the arguments for the homosexual movement. And it's the same argument, the same exact, I mean, exact argument a pedophile could use. I was born this way. We're not hurting anybody. Her parents consented. I said, I pay her college. They let me sleep with their 10-year-old daughter. And they said, okay, because they had no other way to pay. The daughter didn't mind. Just because two people consent to it doesn't mean that's his right. God determines what right is. Well, what's wrong with that man? Oh, he's a deviant. You need to put him on a list. But we're getting more and more freedoms for homosexualities all the time. Maybe we ought to put them on a list. Oh, no, you understand, Cook, Pastor Cook, those feelings I have. I said, I have feelings, too. I have feelings of smacking folk upside the back of their head some of the time. But I just can't go out there and act on that and say I was genetically made to want to smack folks upside the back of their head. You don't understand. It's different. I don't need to understand anything but the word of God. And what you don't understand is the word of God. You have to bring your flesh into subjectivity to the word of God. There's things I want to do that's not good for me. I might look and say, man, that girl looks good. I'd like to get with her. Maybe I can get with her. What am I supposed to do? Stop thinking that and get my mind on something else. Why? Because that's wrong. Why? Because I have a wife. Well, it ain't going to hurt her. If I come to work and I go over there and get with her and I go home and still meet my wife's need, who am I hurting? What's wrong with that? Same kind of logic. The thing is, it's wrong because God said so. If you're saved, doesn't what God say so mean anything? When God say he made them male and female, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. When God said that he made the man to join with the woman, that whole word where they talk about the woman in Genesis 2:18, where it says he made her a helpmeet, that's somebody, a part that is opposite and a counterpart. In the Hebrew, when Genesis 2:18 and Genesis 2:20, where it says he made a woman for that man, he says he made opposite. Why? Because one goes in and the other one receives in. We tell little kids, an outsie and an insie. You're not two outsies bumping against each other or two insies bumping against each other. They're opposite, meant to go together. Now, I mean, this may be too simple for some people, but isn't that common sense? I mean, stop. Just look at the equipment. Look at the equipment. You wouldn't let somebody, if you're a man and you go down to the shop and you're trying to get this, you know, we go and we do plumbing and they say you got a female thread and a male thread. Female thread is on the inside, the male thread on the outside. You're not going to go there and let somebody sell you two male threads, talk about they go together. I'm trying to get my plumbing hooked up. Well, I got a female, so I need a male. No, this female will work. It'll work. Go ahead, hook your house up with two females. You'll never get it sealed because it's not meant to go together. It's obvious. They have to be opposites to fit together. Not opposite in personality, but opposite in equipment. Is that difficult? Is that hard to understand? The Bible says we know the will of God through nature. Is that hard to understand? That, if we clearly get in our head, is wrong for a 90-year-old man to be with a 6-year-old woman. That's just wrong. It's wrong for a male to be with a male. It's wrong for a female to be female. And it's all Satan's plan to attack marriage and attack family, so that that unit. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says, for the mystery is the relationship of Christ and the church is found in the man and the woman. People understand the relationship between Christ and the church. He's the bridegroom, the male, and the church is the female. So as the man is the head of the, so as Christ is the head of the church, so is the man the head of the woman. So as the church is to submit to Christ, so is the wife to submit. That whole illustration of how beautiful that can be and how well that can work and how orderly that is revealed to man in the marriage union. But Satan has screwed up, perverted, and messed up the marriage union. So that now the marriage union doesn't stay together. It divorces. It breaks up. It's kind of like the same thing attacking the men, where the men now think they can run, get these women pregnant and run off. And she has raised that son and that daughter with no father around by herself and think that's God's will. And that's the easiest way to do it. And that's the best plan. There's not one single woman who's honest who said, if I had waited and had a good man, things would be easier for me. There may be some that lie and say, no, this is just what I wanted. Most of them say, you know what? If I had a good man, Pastor Cook, it would be. Now, I'm glad I don't have that one because he wasn't good. Well, God told you to check him out first. You know, check it out first. And you didn't test it. Check it out first. Now, I'm not putting anybody down. So, you know, don't think I'm picking on you. But I'm trying to get the revelation word of God to the next generation and the revelation word of God to you, because somebody should have told you and you wouldn't have done it. If somebody really got it over you, how clearly Satan was trying to gain an advantage over you. But somebody kept you ignorant, so you didn't know. You figured it's what you do. You go to high school, you start dating, you know, he going to leave, he don't touch you. Everybody's doing it. That's the lie they tell. Everybody's doing it. So then you do it. And you know what? Satan has got more everybody's to do it by saying everybody's doing it. Everybody wasn't doing it when they first started saying everybody was doing it. Now almost everybody's doing it, because everybody thinks everybody's doing it and nobody wants to be left out. So everybody does it. Nearly everybody does it. And that was a lie that he brought in with the lie. He was calling things to be not as though they were. And he got other people to agree with him in faith and start calling things to be not as though they were. And now is the point where it's not even shameful to be around. Matter of fact, you get picked on if you are a virgin more so than you would if you're not. All because Satan has won. Now, put the promiscuity increasing through society and match that with the divorce rate. What has happened in the same proportion? As the promiscuity of more people having sex prior to marriage has increased, also the divorce rate has increased. I wonder, could there be a connection? When you get more out of the will of God, it's going to make the next things that's supposed to follow more out of the will of God. That's why when we talk more in detail about the single things, if you're single, one of that series, you need to go buy the tape series today. It's worth the whatever it is, $32, $34, $35, whatever it is worth it, because that information can save you more than $35 of heartache in your life. I guarantee you that. Because it's the word of God to you, the wisdom of God to you, to make sure you get the right one so you don't get married, get kids, and he take off with another woman. Or a man. Check all that stuff out. Satan attacks your marriage in order to steal the power that leads to your blessing. Look at Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3. There in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, with Malachi and Habakkuk and all that kind of stuff. Amos 3:3. It's before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's at the end of the Old Testament. Amos. After the major prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all that stuff. Back there with Nahum, Zechariah, it's just before Jonah, isn't it? Just before Obadiah. Now, that doesn't help you if you don't know what Obadiah is, but, you know, it's just before Obadiah. If you see Obadiah, if you see Joel, go to the right. If you see Obadiah, go to the left, and you'll find Amos. Let's go to Amos 3. Amos 3:3. See what Brother Amos has to say. Are you there? Now, remember, Satan attacks your marriage in order to steal the power that leads to your blessing. He wants to steal the power that leads to your blessing. Look here what it says. It says here that can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you know, when a woman When a man takes a wife and a woman receives a man, the two of them now become one flesh. Don't let preachers tell you they become one spirit, because I've heard people preach that. There's no Bible for that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, but they're not one spirit. They're three separate spirits. And some people think they are one spirit, but they're three separate spirits, three separate entities, three different souls, and three different, I mean, God the Father can be in heaven. The Holy Spirit can be descending down as a dove. Jesus can be down there receiving. They can be in three different places. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I'm going to go be with the Father, and I'll send you back the Holy Spirit, and I'll be with the Father until the enemies are made my footstool. Jesus and the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit's on the earth. The Father and the Holy Spirit were there, then there, because the Holy Spirit was not released in the earth, so people had to tarry till he kept. I mean, they're not the same in the same place, same time, same person. They're not one spirit. Oh, see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and Jesus. No, he's not. He's his own spirit. Jesus has his own spirit. Father has his own spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit is God, is a form of God himself. The three are one in purpose, plan, and thought, not one spirit, not one soul, and not one body. They can exist separate from each other. A man and a woman can exist separate from each other. They have separate spirits, but because the equipment of the female socket and the male plug can hook up, they can become one flesh. Now, how can Steve and Steve become one flesh, and we call it marriage according to the Bible? Not unless you go in the wrong end. And you ain't supposed to use that for that, because that wasn't made for that. Don't be shy about your kids. They know this more than you know it. You just may be shy about it. Ain't blushing to them. They hear all kinds of stuff. But look at the equipment. Adam and Eve were meant for one another. The woman was created to fit the man. The man was created to fit the woman. They are complementary in their equipment, not the other way around. But how can two walk together except they be agreed? Why do people get divorced? Because they're in so much agreement. Why do those who do stay married, why are we having struggles with our wives and with our husbands? In the areas that we do what? Not agree, but the areas that we disagree. You know, that whole prefix die, dis, the part of die means like to divide, to divide, division. Divorce, disagreement. Wherever you have that breaking up of a people, you're going to have Satan in there somewhere. When there's disagreement, there's a Satan in there somewhere where we think differently in some area. And God knows it's going to happen, because we don't have to be totally perfect to get married. So he said to keep peace, there's going to be somebody in charge. As long as they don't go against my law. And that's why God said, if somebody's in charge, let it be the man. And he said why the man was in charge back in the Garden of Eden, because he said Eve was the one who was deceived, not Adam. He said that. He said, Eve, because you were deceived of Satan, your man should rule over you. That's not the sense of any. He didn't give him any right to be negative over you. But he said, you let Satan hoodwink you. The man knew what was wrong. He just said, dang, she fine. And he didn't want to go without a woman after finally getting one. He forgot God could have made him an improved model. But he was like, look, because he was right there. Where I used to always believe he was somewhere off on the other side of the garden. And I looked, and they said the woman was deceived by Satan, and she did give to her husband to eat who was there with her. He was right there. God told him, you have authority in the garden. Soon as he heard Eve, he said, don't let your wife talk to the devil. She's sitting there talking to the devil, and the devil's convinced her, and he just like, dang, she fine. Man, she look good. She fine. Last night, woo, I thank God. Praise God. Me and been like that ever since. Take me to your leader. Take me to your leader. He see a woman, like my mother used to say when I met Helen, he said she got his nose wide open. Take me to your leader. Take me to your leader. Brother was gone, smitten, taken off the market. That's it. Women had that effect on men. But Adam sat there, and he did not exercise the authority he had over the garden to tell Satan, get away, and tell the woman to come with me. Instead, he sat there, and she literally believed that if she ate of the fruit, she would be wise like God. She was deceived. A lot of it has to do with the trusting, maternal nature, the nurturing nature of a woman. Women, how many people know women are softer than men? That's not a bad thing, because it makes them better mothers than a man. Because, like, even with our kids, Helen's a lot more compassionate. I said, look, I told you, come here. And Helen be like, well, maybe he didn't hear you. Well, he going to hear me next time. I'm not mean. My kids will tell you I'm not mean, but I'm a lot less nurturing than she is. I don't have that kind of equipment. But when I can go to work, fight the bear, slay the lion, and come home and say, hey, what's for dinner? Let's sit down and watch TV. And that would wear Helen out, because it wears most women out who have to go fight in that man's world. That lady, Caroline Cutcher, who works with Donald Trump, I guarantee you she go home worn out, because she's out there fighting in the dog-eat-dog world. Men love the competition. They love the battle. We thrive on it. A woman wants to fix her house, be peaceful. Even when they goes to work, they go to work to kind of have a little fellowship, but she'd much rather belong to a family club of women still reading, educating, doing things, but not be under that pressure of deadlines that you have to do and people firing you and letting you go. Women always take that stuff worse than men do. Men basically aren't as emotional. So therefore, we're able to make usually an unemotional decision, whereas emotions get it. You talk, be wise like God. Well, I know God said, surely don't eat the thing, but you know, I want to be wise. All I got to do is eat this fruit. A bump, God. Here, let me have some. Hey, Adam, you have a piece too. Dang, she fine. He just bit the fruit. Ain't know what he's doing. Brother's out of his mind. And he got his punishment too, because he told him, he said, now you will have to work and till the land. Now get out the garden. The Garden of Eden provided everything they needed. And God kicked him out the garden. Everybody said, why did he kick him out the garden? One reason he kicked him out the garden, because they also had the tree, not just the tree of knowledge, good and evil, but they had the tree of life. And if they ate that in their sin, they'd be like that forever. So God spared them to lock them out the garden and get them away from that tree. And he got them out of that area so they couldn't lock themselves in sin. And because God had a plan. Even when Satan did what he did, God had a plan to bruise. Satan would bruise Jesus' heel, but Jesus would bruise his head, crush his head. And Jesus came back and receiving Jesus. But we got to get back in God. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? God says, as a rhetorical question, how can they walk together if they're in agreement? If my wife and I don't agree, how are we going to walk together? But sometimes we don't agree. So how are we going to walk together? I have authority. God has ultimate authority. If I say anything is God, baby, we ain't going to church no more. I don't like Joy Faith. We ain't going there no more. Let's just quit. Let's just run. Let's just go away. We ain't going to. Baby, I'm going to church. I love you, but I'm going to church because God said go to church. Baby, let's just stay home today. I love you. Let's just stay home today. I want to love you. I want to hug you. I want to kiss you. Just stay home. Baby, I got to go to church. And you get up and you go anyway, women. Men, if your wife ain't ready to go, leave her. Sorry, church starting, baby. You got a car. I got to go. Here's some cab money. I'll see you when you get there. Just leave. Don't put your wife ahead of God. I'm telling you, women have to be ready, because I'm telling the men, leave you. And if you get mad and want to leave the church, stay here anyway and let her leave. You need to be ready to go and get where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. It ain't nothing but giving in to the flesh. The Bible said, make no provision to fill lust of flesh. When you go to bed too late Saturday, you make provision to fill lust of your flesh in the morning when you can't get up and get where you need to be on time. And there's a whole lot of people go to work on time and come to church late. And I'm not picking anybody came late. I don't even know who came late. Go that way and sin no more. So don't think I'm picking on you. But if you listen to Pastor, I love you. I love everybody at this church. My desire is to make you better. And it is better to be on time than it is to be late. You don't know how many opportunities you miss by being late places. Some people don't get jobs when they're the better candidate, but they were late. And they say, oh, no, if they're late to the interview, please. Because whatever people do the first day, multiply. We have people come in for contracts and stuff. And then they come in. I say, Dan, they're late. And that already knocked you down in my mind on getting a contract. So they might be losing a couple $1,000 bid or something just because they're late. I say, if they're late when you're trying to put your best impression, if their best impression is late, you got to multiply that to what they really like. People who are wise look at people like that because people tip their hat. You're dating people looking at them tip their hat. I went out here with him one time and he's trying to have sex with me. This is over with now. This is over. Ain't no say. This is over with. You disrespect me that much, you don't even know me. Well, how do you think, what kind of woman do you think I am? I don't even know you. He's the kind that think you loose enough to have something. That's what he think about you. And he's going to treat you exactly the way he thinks about you. So you cut that out right now. Save yourself the second date. Don't even waste your time. Steak wasn't that good. Let it go. Get somebody else to buy you a steak. If you eat that stuff, get somebody else to buy you one. The power of agreement leads to your blessing. Satan is trying to prevent the power of agreement. That's why he's keeping that strife in between that man and that woman. And then there's going to stay strife when you've got a decision that has to be made. And she sees it one way. He sees it another way. And poor old God wasn't smart enough to put somebody in charge of making the decision. So therefore, what stays there? It becomes a gridlock. It becomes a deadlock. It becomes perpetual disagreement in the marriage when nobody has authority. Can you see how authority can prevent disagreement? When you go to work and you say, you know what, I don't want to do my job. I want to go do the boss's job. And the boss said, no, you go and do your job and I'll do mine. Hey, I'm equal to you. I'm doing your job. No, you're not. I'm doing your job today. I'm tired. I always have to do my job. I want to do your job. They don't have that mess going on at work, do they? Why? Because one person has authority and their authority is higher than yours. So what do? They fire you. People wonder why in the Bible they talk so much about a man putting his wife away and they don't talk about wife putting her husband away and all that, because he had authority and he was responsible. She could still put him away, but they were talking to the one that had authority. It is not a bad thing to have authority. You try going to your job where you like your job and somebody else wants your job and there's nobody in authority keeping them out of your office when you get there. You get there and you got to fight every day to do your job because you worked hard, got the degree, and you got the easier job. And then you got to fight somebody out of your office who didn't go to get a degree. Now, you like somebody in authority. Well, how about you go down here to the intersection and people just run right through the lights because they don't follow authority? Aren't you glad there's authority? And the Bible says authority does not yield the sword for no purpose. And what they mean by that, authority will call it on you. Helen and I have authority over our kids and they know that we love you, we appreciate you, but you got to flow. And you can't go. But you're going to get in trouble if you don't flow. Why? Because she and I have authority over them. But yet she recognizes my authority and she'll say, look, your dad says such and such, you need to do that. I like it when the mother says your dad said some of the time. Because it lets the kids know he's in charge. And that sets a good example for your daughter so she didn't grow up thinking we are equal in authority. It's a good thing. And most women don't say that. They fight for whatever. I do it. You do it. They do it. We do it. Everybody, I'm just like you. We're just equal. I said, your kids need to see that dad is the head of the household. Your son needs to see how to be the head of the household. But too many men bow down to their wife. Mama start a little pouting, a little pitying, and he changes mind and do what mama wants. Then the kids learn to do the same thing. And just a house full of pitiful people pouting. Nobody's got authority. There's no order. There's no decency. There's no right is right. Let's do what's right. Now, I tell you, women, the men have authority. Don't get mad at me. Just check them out more before you marry them. That's all I'm trying to say. There are a lot of men that are not crazy. But if you marry one that is, you're going to deal with Mr. Crazy. You'll be Mrs. Crazy. Don't do it. Check them out real good. Just because they got curly hair, you're going to have pretty babies. Don't do it. Because I've seen pretty babies that got abused by a father, a drunk father, and they don't look so pretty no more. Fathers, I've heard of fathers breaking their kids' arms in drunken furies. They don't look that pretty no more then. The power of agreement that leads to blessing. Satan wants you to continue in disagreement so that you'll not fulfill the plan of God for your life. He wants you all to perpetually be locked in your marriage in disagreement so you won't fulfill the plan of God in your life because you're busy fighting with each other. If Miss Cook and I were fighting over coming to Tulsa, I mean coming from Tulsa to here, we wouldn't be here. We'd still be fighting over it. Because when I came here by myself, I'm going to start a church when I'm married and my wife isn't here. I know of a pastor's wife where he was working at the church as a pastor, associate pastor for like a year or so, and his wife wouldn't even go to the church. Now, that affects things. If we were the senior pastor and my wife and I were not in agreement, I couldn't stand before you and pastor, because the Bible says of the pastor that the pastor must have his household in order and be the husband of one wife. I might be married to one woman, but my house ain't in order if my wife won't go to the church I preach at. I have a cousin who says the first lady doesn't go to that church. They got her to come once in 3 years. She goes to another church and he's pastor. I said, you ought to leave that church just because he a fool. Not because I said it, because the Bible said it. You're not fit to pastor if you can't keep you out. So literally, if she decides she ain't coming to church, I can't really keep pastoring until I get my house straight. Thank God we walk in agreement. Because there's a power that we have because we walk in agreement called the power of agreement that Satan wants to take by keeping strife because there's no decency and order. Let's look at another one before we close here. Turn over to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 3. We're going to go through this quickly. First Peter 3. We're going to finish this up in 10 minutes. First Peter 3. Is it good?
Yes.
Are you guys getting anything other than mad? You're getting some other than mad, aren't you? Don't blame me. As long as I got scripture for it, just flow with the word. See, I love you so much. Helen and I pray for you guys. I said, Lord, I know they don't always like the truth, all of them, but I want to tell them the truth anyway. Give me the truth. And yes, it is true that your marriage will be better if you find a good man who has good judgment, good character, and then you submit to him. That'd be far better than you finding a bad man, not submitting to him, being equal. It's going to be far better. Trust me. And a man, if you learn how to be a man and you learn to pay your bills and take care of that, don't drag some woman into the nothingness that you have. Talk about, let's get married. I got nothing. You got nothing. Let's have nothing together. If you don't, you're going to feel a lot better like a man when you can pay those bills. Because it's going to mess with a brother if he can't pay those bills. Nothing wrong with your wife helping you short term. My wife made more money than I did all the years we were married up until she quit working and I went full time in church. If she'd have kept working, she still would have made more money than I did. So I didn't like it, but I didn't have any problem with it because she was helping me. But suppose it was just going to be forever, me making a dime a week and her making thousands and thousands. That does affect any man. Somebody says man pride, male pride. I said, don't confuse pride with ego. The man does have an ego. He has a desire and the need to provide. God recognized that when he commanded the woman to respect her husband, not love him. But a woman has a need for that affection. He commanded the man to love his wife, not respect her. Now, does that mean disrespect her? No. And does that mean not love your husband? No. But God was emphasizing the thing that the other one needs the most. A man needs you to respect him. And if you ever throw that card up, I'm making way more money than you do, you're going to have problems with him because he's going to have problems with his ego. It's not pride, it's ego. And a male ego out of check can be very dangerous, but a male ego in check, you don't want your man to get rid of his ego, because my ego is what makes me kill for my wife. If you mess with my wife, all I got coming is coming your way, and all of it I can find and take with me in your direction, because that's my wife. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my children. Every man, do we have a little bit of that in us?
Yes.
That's mine. I know that's mine, and I know I have to die to protect that. That's mine. You mess with my, if I come in and somebody mess with my wife, rape my wife, hey, I'm just going to deal with the court system. Like one person said, I'm going to just have to deal with the court system because I'm going to kill somebody. But I do it in love because I'm a Christian. But I'm going to kill somebody. Maybe I'll pull out my gun and shoot him in Jesus' name or something. But, you know, somebody might say that's wrong as a pastor, but don't get a man that won't defend you. I'm not talking about a crazy man. I've got control of myself. And I'm going to just jump out and start shooting anybody talking to my wife. But if there's something where she's in harm and her life is in jeopardy, I'm a man. That's my wife. And that means my ego is going to rise up. I don't know no man that if somebody pick on his wife, he just, well, baby, it's all right. Just ignore him. As long as your wife ain't crazy trying to get you in a fight, you'd be like, look, you know, I'd appreciate it, brother, if you'd stop going over there hitting on my wife every time I turn around. She say you're bothering her. She'd like you to leave her alone. I ain't going to leave her alone. Mess with her again. And we'll see if you're going to leave her alone. Either I'm going out or you going out, but somebody going out. See, the male ego is what makes a man defend, makes him provide, makes him take care of. That's why he needs to respect, because he ain't going to act right if he doesn't get it. Because he has something in him that's not in a woman to do that. He has that in her. But also he doesn't have the nurturing. She has the nurturing. So there's strengths and weaknesses in being a nurturer. Because I don't want nurturers out there fighting in the war. They're suiting all the women to go out and fight. I don't want an army full of women. Some of them ain't violent enough for war. You know, if it comes to where you can't negotiate any other way and you got to fight, I want a brother that's not going to be, oh, I'm hit. You know, I want a brother going to get up and say, what? And just be out there. He may be getting shot down, but he's taking many as he can with him, because you need to throw that kind of firepower at the enemy. And most women don't have that kind of, they get hit and they're bleeding like, oh, bleed, I broke a fingernail. You know? I like feminine women. Thank God for them. I don't want no manly woman. But Miss Cook don't have no desire to go out there with an Uzi and be G.I. Jane. Lock and load. Let's go. I don't want to kind of... I ain't saying nothing wrong with you if you're in the military, but I'm saying you can still be a woman and be in the military. But I'm talking about when you got that G.I. Joe and you want to go out there and be shot at and in the trenches and all this mess, and something wrong with that. You may think I'm wrong, but something wrong with that. Women aren't designed for that kind of thing, you know? And there's a strength in a woman. I admire women. There's a tremendous strength in a woman that men don't have. There's a tremendous strength in me and the women don't have because God made them opposites. For the purposes he made them for, a man is better at being a man than a woman, and a woman is much better being a woman than a man. So why do they try and be the other one? Why do it? You don't have the equipment. You don't have the stamina. You don't have the things to try and do that. And that doesn't mean a woman can't work. That doesn't mean a Proverbs 31 woman works. We'll get to that. Let's look at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 12. I got to get through this quickly. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 12. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Now, we read over in Ephesians when Paul said it. Now we're reading over here with Peter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to what? To men, women be in subjection to men. Is that what it says? No, it says wives be in subjection to not husbands, your own husband. You ain't got to pay no other man any attention unless, like, if you're in a job and you're submitting because you're an employee, because there's a place where they say servants be in subjection to your masters. It means employees be in subjection. But see, God, you don't have to be, you don't just look at some man and say, I'm a woman, I'm subject. Because sometimes you go in churches and they put all women, or you go over maybe in Iraq or somewhere, the culture may be all women under men. Hey, my wife may not be under no man but me, or within the setting of an employment position. Other than that, you ain't got to listen to nobody else. God didn't say you had to, so you don't have to. But you have some man coming up ordering your wife what to do. Some cultures are like that, where all women are beneath men. And if a man say do it, you do it, even if he's your third cousin. It ain't playing like that. You are not her husband, and you're going to have a problem with me if you start that mess. Don't be telling my wife what to do, unless you're in a situation where she's under authority because of position. Likewise, ye wives, this is a commandment of God in the New Testament. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any husband obey not the word, that they may, without the word, be warned by your conversation and your lifestyle, and be the quiet, peaceable spirit, a hidden heart, man on the inside, all that, because of time. Let's go down to verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Don't be a fool. A woman is different than a man. She has different needs. Make sure you do your best to meet those. Give honor unto the wife. What does that mean? Women can't take you putting another woman in her place. A man can take that a little bit easier, but a woman can't take that at all because it threatens her security, her emotional security. I think she may like him. I mean, if some woman come up here too often to meet the same woman and Helen sees it, she'll say, well, you know, so-and-so keep coming up there. What's that all about? So I don't know. I'll ask her next time she comes up. But I say, well, you know, she lets me know and I keep my eye out there. I had one sister used to come up and she started saying, Pastor, you got to get my weekly hug. And she come right up every week, get a week. And I start, every time I saw her coming, I step back up here. And I wouldn't come down there. There's a few sisters I may hug every now and then because I have different relationships with different women. But she might be somebody I know, family friend, might be my mother, might be some older woman who I look at as a mother. And I know it ain't nothing going on, but I'm very careful about hugging on these young women, especially if they're single, because I ain't getting nothing out of it. But I don't know what they may be getting out of it. I don't want to confuse their relationship with me. And I don't want to open myself up to temptation, because, I mean, some sisters ain't above giving you a full body hug. Some of them ain't above that. You know, even when I hug men, we put our hand between, we shake hands, because I ain't trying to get all up in no man either. I don't know what he may be getting out of it. Nowadays, you got to watch both of them. You know I'm telling the truth, don't you? You don't know what brothers may be getting out. But Pastor, I got to get my hug. I got to get my hand. I want Helen to say, you better watch brother so-and-so, because he keep coming up getting his hug. Oh, Lord, help us finish this. Ah, glory. Here we go. Verse 7. Let's get back to it. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving what? Honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, the feminine vessel, that means the feminine. Women feminine is softer than men, vessel, and being heirs together in the grace of life. Here it is, that your prayers be not hindered. What's going to happen? Your prayer is going to be hindered if you don't keep unity in your body. Your prayer and your marriage, your prayer. Satan is trying to hinder your blessing. He's trying to hinder your prayer. There's a power of prayer that will lead to blessing. And husbands and wives, if they don't work together, the woman doesn't submit. The man doesn't take the headship. The two of them don't work together. The man didn't give her proper honor and her proper place. There's going to be problems. Every woman knows if he's always with another woman, there's going to be problems. Satan will put another woman there. A secretary or somebody just to break that power of prayer. Because the Bible says if you don't keep things right between husband and wife, your prayers will be hindered. That's the word of God. Look at Matthew 18:19 as we close. We're going to try and get this in real quick. They're waving at me 1 minute. Matthew 18:19. If the tape runs out, it's Matthew 18, 19, and we're closing there. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and read while you turn there. There's another one. You have that power of agreement. You have that power of prayer, which leads to blessing, the power of agreement, which leads to blessing. And the third point is Matthew 18, 19, which says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. It will be done. There is a power of agreement in prayer. There's a power of agreement that leads to blessing. There's a power of prayer that leads to blessing in marriage. And there's a power of agreement in prayer. That means the two of you touch together. There's no greater force of prayer than a man and wife because they're one. And the both of us take our spirits together and exercise them on the same thing. We can accomplish anything. That is two of you, anything that two of you shall agree. Now, that's not just married people, but also includes that marriage union. My wife and I touch and agree for the growth of the church. We touch and agree for the positive production of our children in life. We touch and agree. There's a power I have. There's somebody with me on my team at all times. We touch and agree with a power of agreement. Satan wants, the reason marriage is so difficult is because Satan attacks your marriage in order to steal the power that leads to blessing. The power of agreement, the power of prayer, and the power of agreement in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today, Lord. We thank you for stirring us up and teaching us. Father, we thank you for the foundation you laid for us to understand marriage and understand what's going on and how Satan's trying to prevent it. Father, we thank you that as you continue teaching us through the coming weeks, that we'll grow and develop, that you would draw many people to come and hear the word, Father, that the word would be the solution to their problems. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement say, amen.